I thought we may be done with the subject, but we're not done with the subject. I don't think we'll ever finish anything. We'll always come back. But I want to talk again about the power and privilege of having God as your covenant friend, because I think praying to a covenant friend is a lot different than just praying even to a Father in heaven. He is our Heavenly Father, but He's also our covenant friend. So we actually go into a relationship that was very well understood in biblical times, in ancient times, and in some cultures still understood today. In America, when we mention the word covenant, very few people understand that. Some people may understand contract better. Contract and covenant are really similar, but certainly not the same. Because contracts can be done in a very cold, impersonal way. When we get a loan, how many's ever gotten a loan before? And you go in to sign the contract. There's nothing intimate, nothing personal. It's very legal and impersonal. And you go home with the sense of all my bills have been consolidated, but now I have the mortgage. Can you say, man, now I have the obligation to pay it back. And should I default, it's not even in the fine print. It's right up front what's going to happen should we default on our part of that. Covenant is different. Covenant is not like a contract. Many people see marriage, if they saw it as the covenant that it is, they would think of it as a more sacred thing than they do. But they see it as a legal contract rather than a spiritual covenant. Christians in particular should never see marriage as a legal contract, not even an obligation before God to keep it as a legal contract, but as a covenant. Can you say amen? When a covenant is a mighty thing, God gets involved in covenant situations. That's why the Bible said that a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. Amen. Every time you add a strand to a cord, you don't triple it when you add three. I don't know the math on this, but it multiplies it many times. The tensile strength of it becomes greater when you wind it together. And he said, if you put one out there, you can break that pretty easy. If you wind another around it, amen, the tensile strength is even more. It's multiplied, and you could possibly even break that. But if you add the third dimension to it, it's not easily broken. Can you say amen? If two Christians really commit to Christ and involve God in a covenant with one another, amen, that thing's not, the devil can tug on it all he wants to, but that thing's not going to break. Amen. Can you say amen? God gets involved in your life in a covenant sense. Amen. A triple-stranded cord is not easily broken. You stand on the Word of God. We got you. We got the Word of God, the promises of God, and we got God who honors His Word. Amen. Things are going to happen. God binds Himself to His own Word. He watches over it to perform it. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He wants us to understand covenant so that everything in your Bible is framed in a covenant understanding. If you don't understand it as a covenant, you are not going to understand the Bible. You can't possibly understand it. God is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. How many have a Bible that has the New and the Old Testament in it? I want you to understand that word testament is not, in the real spiritual sense, biblical sense even, correct. That is not a testament. How many's ever heard of the last will and testament? Amen. My dad just signed a last will and testament. Amen. And that he's testifying to the fact that here's what he wants to go where. This is not a testament here. This is a covenant. In the actual Greek, the word Jesus used when he said, "This is the new testament in my blood," is new covenant in my blood. Your Bible is separated between the old covenant and the new covenant. But covenant is in effect throughout all of the Bible. Covenant is never out of effect. And God keeps covenant with the covenant people to 1,000 generations. Can you say amen? When we claim promises, they are given by covenant. And so I want you to understand that God wants us to understand it. He never wants us to pick up this Bible and just see it as the New Testament, meaning, you know, this is 400 years after Malachi and it begins the new, and this is the blood one and that's the old. And Jesus, it's true in a sense, but it is a covenant. And the covenant is in effect. And God has identified Himself with the Old Testament as a friend who comes into covenant with His people. rather than just a God who makes promises contractually, he comes into covenant. Covenant is different. God is not just obligated because he's holy. He commits because he loves us. You didn't hear me. Amen. The word is true because God is too holy to lie, but it's more than that. There's an intimacy here. There's something personal going on. It's a God committed himself to his covenant people in love. Amen. He loves us. And he wants to come into an intimate, personal relationship. And that didn't just start in the New Testament. He wanted that in the Old Testament. The old covenant. Amen. He wanted to reveal himself. Moses said, I hear your audible voice. You don't talk to anybody like that but me, but I hear you audibly. We talk face to face like two friends. Amen. And he said, Show me. I want to see you. It's not enough. Show me your glory. And he said, I can't. You'll die. Can't look at me and live. But he hit him in the cleft of a rock and caused his goodness to pass by him quickly. And what it shows me is God wanting to reveal himself. God wanting to manifest himself. God wanting to fellowship. Sin separated. He said, my hand's not short. See, God has the will to help you. Amen. You don't have to persuade him. Amen. He has to persuade you to trust him. You don't have to persuade him to love you enough to help you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My hand is not short, he told ancient Israel, that it cannot save. My ear is not heavy, that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between me and you. But I don't want that. Return to me, I'll return to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a good, gracious God we serve. He's not just obligated to keep his word because he's holy. He loves you. He commits himself to you in love. He wants and desires and has designed his relationship with his people to be framed in the context of a covenant, not just a contract. I want you to listen to this. This gets exciting. This can take your prayer life and just cause it to expand. This can take your personal life and cause your faith to explode. Amen. I'm praying to a God who wants to. Hallelujah. Amen. Who wants to help me? Who's committed himself? Praise God. Listen to this. This is good stuff. Genesis 17, once again, I'm going to go back and review for just a few. Are you interested in this today? And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. Now, when God uses the word perfect, whether it's Old or New Testament, he's talking about, amen, something that he said, and the law declared, that you cannot achieve sinless perfection. The perfection he's looking at, he called Job a perfect man. If there was one perfect, if we could achieve perfection without the cross, Jesus died for nothing, for naught, amen? So he's talking about something that we can achieve. And that is the attitude of our heart. Everybody say the attitude of my heart. I want to stop and explain that. Because if you think you have to be perfect to be blessed, then no one in here can qualify for blessing. And if there's anyone in here who thinks you are perfect and qualify, that just disqualified you right there. For God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. And I'll give you another scripture, amen. If we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. Amen. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful. That doesn't mean we're bound by sin anymore or even bent toward sin. Amen. We have a new heart within us and it's bent toward righteousness. But we have flesh that is weak. Amen. How many know that your flesh and your spirit are at odds with one another now that you're born again? Paul said, there's a law in me. I find a law when I would do good, you know, it just doesn't come naturally. There's something fighting against it. When I would do good, evil just shows up. I don't invite it. It comes uninvited. When I would do good, evil presents itself. I want to do good to those that despitefully use me. But my first impulse isn't to do what I know God told me to do. There's another impulse comes up. I didn't invite it. It just shows up. Amen. When someone despitefully uses me, it makes me hurt and angry. And in that hurt and anger, I want to retaliate. And God says, do good to them. Amen? And I have to override something. But I can have the perfect attitude of heart God is looking for to obey Him. And be open and honest with Him and ask Him to help me. So I want you to understand, be thou perfect means to be perfectly committed to obeying me. Now, if you just decide, I'm just not going to serve God, I don't care what the Bible says, then that's just rebellion, that's insurrection, and God can never bless that. But if you commit yourself to obey God, you're going to have a real struggle with the flesh, but all heaven is going to line up with you to help you to overcome when you make that commitment. And Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, what a dilemma I'm in. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin in Romans 7? But then he answers his own question rhetorically, and he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. And he goes on into verse 8 explaining that. He said, amen, for the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am not bound to sin any longer. Amen. I'm bound to serve God. I'm a bond slave of Jesus. Hallelujah. And it set me free from that law that was in my members. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'll make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. See, that's real important, because it wasn't just between God and Abraham, but thy seed after thee in their generations, all that shall come after thee. I love that, because the Bible said in the New Covenant, the New Testament, amen, as many as are of as of the household of faith are what? Abraham's seed by faith. And the blessings of faithful Abraham. What did God say He was going to do about the seed? Is this just between God and Abraham exclusively? No, but Abraham's seed. When did we become Abraham's seed? When we received Jesus as our personal Savior. For in Him there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, amen, male nor female. We become one in Jesus Christ. And the Bible said the middle wall, a partition between the Jew and Gentile, is broken down through the blood covenant, amen. And we come into that family tree of Jesus. We come into that Abraham's seed blessing. Amen. Amen? Yeah. Bible said a true Jew is not one that's born in Israel anymore, that has that personal family tree and rooted in the land of Israel and through Abraham in the sense of genetics anymore. But it's a spiritual thing now. Can you say amen? And He includes us. He grafts us into the true vine. Hallelujah. Amen? A wild olive branch grafted in. So we need to understand this, that we are part of the covenant people. Don't just relegate that to the nationals in the nation of Israel, but all of God's children have become Abraham's seed by faith. And the Bible said in those blessings, these blessings that promised on the seed, amen, are given to you and given to me. So I'm praying to a God that I'm in covenant with. A God that I'm in covenant with. I'm just going to jump right up here real quick and get into these ancient covenants. Actually, Bible scholars call this righteousness we receive for our sinfulness the great exchange. Say it with me, the great exchange. This whole process of covenant was exchanging. Two people coming into to a covenant relationship whereby they exchange with one another things. And this gets really, really powerful and wonderful. Bible scholars call it the exchange life. God comes to earth and becomes a man. To exchange garments, He takes our stained garments, stained by sin, and gives us His righteous robe. He is judged and punished. We are acquitted and set free. Amen. The exchange of garments is the first thing that they did. Listen to this. 1 Samuel 18. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant. Because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Amen. Which meant his belt. Amen. Men, real men don't wear girdles. Come on, everybody, say it with me. Say it with me. Real men don't wear girdles. Amen. This is a belt. When you read it, it's a belt. Amen. There was a lady that went off of the road and hit a power pole, demolished the car. She amazingly was unhurt. And when the highway patrol showed up and asked why she had veered off the road, expecting her to say a car swerved or something ran in front of my car, when actuality what was going on, she said my girdle was killing me, and she was trying to take it off while driving. I'm just saying. Amen. I'm just saying. Don't do that. Yeah, pull off side the road. I mean, use wisdom. Yeah, you don't do it while driving. I give you credit, Sister Venom. Amen. If that's what it does to you, I don't want to be near. Ooh. First thing they did was exchange garments. I give you my garment. You give me yours. This robe here was a garment worn over a tunic by men of rank, the garment of the priest. By doing so, Jonathan was saying, in effect, to David, I'm giving you my life and all that I am and all that I have. Because that garment identified him as who he was and what he possessed. By doing so, Jonathan was saying, in effect, to David, I'm giving you everything I have and everything I am. That's exactly what we're to give in our part to God. Amen? Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, 3, it says these words. It says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Can you say amen? Amen. Which is your reasonable service, or literally your acceptable worship. Jonathan was the crown prince, the son of King Saul, destined for the throne. From birth, he had been trained and schooled for kingship. He had everything to live for, possessions beyond our imagination, prestige, and a future to be envied. He was ready to give it all away to seal a covenant with his friend. That's how covenants work. His sword, his bow, amen, his garment that identified him as a prince in Egypt, he hands it all over to David. He said, I care about you that much that I want to come into covenant with you. And you know how much God cares about us to desire to come into a covenant with us? That he would give us his righteous robe. See, you didn't just get forgiven. Righteousness was imputed you. Let me tell you something about something imputed you. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. Can you say amen? How many know the righteousness that's been imputed you because of what Jesus did on the cross is unmerited? Undeserved. You didn't earn it. You didn't get right enough, holy enough, pure enough for that. He gave you his garment in exchange for what? Your old garment stained with sin. He put on your garment and took the punishment for your sin on the cross. You put on his garment and God passed over you. Can you say amen? The King of Glory took off his royal robe and handed it to you. And you handed him your dirty, filthy garment stained with sin. He put it on, and the moment he put it on, God's wrath came upon him instead of you. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's what they did in covenants. They exchanged garments. Philippians 2, 6, 7, and 8 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, took on himself the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Bible scholars again call it the exchange life. God comes to earth to become a man, to exchange garments. He takes our garments stained by sin, gives us His righteous robe. He is judged and punished, and we are acquitted and set free. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Oh, does that give me license to sin? No, it gives me an incentive, amen, to live as holy as I possibly can. Amen, to let Him know that I understand, appreciate, and appropriate in my life what has been given me. He gave me a robe, amen, that is not my robe, amen, it's His robe, praise God. I don't want to drag it in the dirt. I don't want to sully it. I don't want to tarnish it. I don't want to purposely stain it. Can you say amen? He took my robe so I could wear this robe. This is the wedding garment. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the reason the devil cannot dispute it is because it's his robe, not ours. Job said, "I put on righteousness. It clothed me." Can you say amen? It covered me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a breastplate, amen, to guard your heart. Amen. And it's called the breastplate of righteousness. Praise God. It makes me want to live right, not live wrong. We've been so afraid to tell people about this great covenant exchange, afraid they would take it and abuse it. Listen, if you're a real Christian, if you're really saved and born again, you have a new heart in you, and it's not to sin. If it's for real, if you're the real deal today, if you're authentic, you have a new heart within you. Amen. Amen? And it's not bent towards sin. His seed remains in us that we sin not. His nature has been imparted to us through the regeneration of the Holy Ghost and the washing of water by the Word. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And amen. This is powerful stuff. He left indescribable beauty and unspeakable glory in heaven to give us His robe of righteousness. Isaiah 61:10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness." So what am I going to do? I'm going to greatly rejoice in the God who saved me by covenant, by blood covenant, and gave me His robe and put on mine. We've been given His robe to cover us. We're wearing our covering, our covenant partner's garment. We should live differently. Can you say amen? Everybody say, "I'm wearing my covenant partner's garment. I should live differently." Can you say amen? Can you say amen? It's a call to holiness. It's not a license to sin. It's a call to holiness. Can you say amen? Who would want, that's really a Christian, to drag this robe? Amen. This robe. This robe. This robe. Amen. In the dirt. I want to live right because this robe is so important to me. So precious to me. It came with great cost. Amen. Listen to me carefully. I like this. Ephesians 4:24. "In that you have put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Ephesians 4:24 is written in covenant language, which the Jews understood more deeply than we generally do today. Paul was emphasizing that there had been an exchange of life. We're now to walk in another man's garment, taking on His righteousness, reflecting His nature, manifesting His goodness. In fact, the Bible said we are now to walk even as He walked. Can you say amen? Amen. Be ye followers of God as dear children and walk even as He walked. He's given us His garment. We're to start following Him. Amen. That word "follower of God" is the word "imitate." Amen. Godliness means we want to be like God. Not in His divinity, but in His purity, His holiness, His goodness, His mercy, His character of love that manifests all this goodness and mercy. walk even as he walked, manifesting his goodness. The next thing they exchanged after garments, how many know you have the robe of righteousness? That's why the Bible said, in being found in him, not having my own righteousness. Amen. Which is by the law, which no man could walk out perfectly. It was flawed. It was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to convince us that we couldn't live it perfectly. We needed a Savior. Some of the hardest nuts to crack when Jesus came to preach were the self-righteous, the scribes and the Pharisees. Can you say amen? But the sinners who knew they needed a Savior welcomed him and embraced the salvation that comes by grace. Amen? Not having my own righteousness. Amen. But the righteousness which is of God by faith, God's own righteousness. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would take off his royal garments and hand them over to me? Amen. Laying down his life. He did more than die on the cross. He gave up his life to give it to you. And to give it to me. He didn't just die. He laid down his life. He gave his life away and he gave it to all that would receive it. So I have his life. When a man gave away his garment, it's like he's saying, take my life. There's nothing in my life that is not yours. Second thing they did, they exchanged weapons. This is part of the covenant process. Let's go back to the old covenant again, of belts and weapons. 1 Samuel 18:4, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave to David and his garments, even to his sword, his bow, and his belt. Everybody say his servant, his sword, his bow, and his girdle. I've heard that at this time, the technology to make swords was really just coming on the scene. And Jonathan's sword was just irreplaceable. To have a weapon of metal and still a bow or a staff that was sharpened. To have a weapon like that was precious and it was something prestigious. We place our trust in our covenant friend. We give up personal weapons of defense. Jonathan was surrendering ability to defend himself against attack. He gave up his personal weapons of defense. Jesus said something that's always really challenged me. He said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit. You'll find rest for your soul. I send you forth as sheep among wolves. And I thought, Lord, we don't stand a chance. Sheep among wolves. Amen. They're done for. But then he gently but firmly reminded me, sheep don't have to defend themselves. They were not designed to defend themselves because they have no need to defend themselves. Sheep are defended by the shepherd. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. In other words, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. You come into this covenant, you can give up your self-defense. Can you say amen? You're not going to need it anymore. Praise God. Amen. You won't have to buy bullets for your 9mm. No more. You're not going to need it. I'm not talking about home defense. I'm talking about defending your ego, defending yourself, thinking that somehow you can defend yourself. The armor that you put on will always trust in God. You don't defeat the devil, amen, because you, amen, in and of yourself are mightier than he. It's because the mighty one lives in you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And when you give up the right to retaliate, everybody say the right to retaliate. God takes up the fight. The battle is not yours anymore. The battle is the Lord's. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. So you pray for your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use them. For in so doing, you heap coals of fire upon their head. Some translators translate that. They'll be so convicted. But honey, there are people that don't care if you do good to them. They're just mean. They're just flat out wicked and mean. amen, and don't convict them at all. There are good people that are basically good that make mistakes and will get convicted and get into repentance. There are other people just wicked and mean. If you don't know that, you haven't lived long as me, but you'll find it out. Amen. There's just some mean folk out there. The devil just got a hold of them, and they're doing what he says, and there you are. Amen. But heaping coals of fire. You know what it also can mean? It can mean that God is going to reckon with them. You don't have to get involved in that. Amen. You just stay out of that. You do the right thing. Let God defend it. Let God defend your name. Let God defend your reputation. Let God defend you. Praise God. Amen. When you give up your weapons, you come into a state of surrender. You're saying to your covenant friend, I am so convinced that you're going to keep your covenant with me. Amen. And that you will never break this covenant. That I'm giving up all defenses. I surrender. I still love the song. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to Him I freely give. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You give up your weaponry. He gave up His weapons. By giving up personal weapons of defense, Jonathan was surrendered. And he was surrendering the ability to defend himself against attack. His entire defense was now in the hands of his covenant friend. He deliberately made himself vulnerable. He also rendered himself incapable of hurting his covenant friend. It was a commitment of utter loyalty, holding nothing back. He said, if I'm attacked from here on, David, you defend me, for I'm defenseless without you. But I'm committing my defense to you. Amen. God wants to be our covenant friend in that respect. He wants us to win by surrender to Him. To win. Remember that song? Surrendering just your desire to retaliate with your tongue, which the Bible said it's set on fire of hell and no man can tame it. You have to surrender to God for victory in that area. Can you say amen? Amen. It's full of poison too. The Bible calls it full of poison. Deadly member. Amen. But when it's surrendered to the Lord, when your heart is surrendered to the Lord, your defense is surrendered to Him. Amen. It's one of the hardest things to do. And yet the Bible said your religion that you're trying to get right and practice and God wants you to get right, it's all in vain if you don't get this part right. If you don't give up that weapon and trust God to be your defense. And it's hard to let God do that. Amen. When we want to do it ourselves so bad. But the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Amen. Never will it come out right. I heard a lady with a whole bunch of children. She said, you know, when Johnny and Janie, two siblings, when they get into a fight, and Janie, which she's a tomboy, and she'd get right in there and fight the boys. When she would hit Johnny and bloody Johnny's nose, and Johnny hit her back and black her eye. And both of them come running to me crying. And she had a black eye, and he had a broke nose. And I whipped them both for fighting. Didn't side with neither one of them. Looked like one give just as much as the other got. It didn't ask who hit first. I just whooped them both, got it over with. But said if one of them had come running to me with unmarked, and the other one had come marked, then I would have got the one that, you know what I'm saying? In other words, if you're going to take up the battle, defend yourself, not give up your weaponry, God said, then you just leave me out of it. Y'all just fight it out. But if you surrender to me and you hold your peace and let the Lord. Oh, that's the sweetest little song. That's one of the hardest things you'll ever find in your Christian walk. If I hold my peace and let what? Lord fight my battle. I've often said, if you want to drive your enemies crazy, amen, the Bible said He will prepare you a table. Where? In the presence of your enemies. The best thing you can do is not let your enemies keep you from the Lord's table. Amen. Can you say amen? Pull your chair up to God's table. Begin to feast on the children's bread. No matter what they said about you, did to you, when they hear of you, amen, sitting at God's table, eating the good things that He's provided. With the joy of the Lord is your strength, and the peace of God is your stability. Amen. It's going to irk them to no end. Amen. For when a man's ways please the Lord, the battle is not yours anymore. Amen. That's why He told Israel when they were right with Him, you shall not have to fight at all in this battle. For the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Just send the singers out to extol Him, praise God. Amen. And talk about His unchanging character of goodness and mercy. Let them sing, the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. And watch your God give you the victory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Don't let the devil steal your soul. Don't let him get you into judging others to the point of wanting to get them or seek vengeance. It all belongs to God. Can you say amen? You love Him. You serve Him. You extol Him. You praise Him anyhow. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He's got a covenant to defend you, but He won't defend you till you give up your weapons. Amen. Hallelujah. Jonathan was saying, if I'm attacked, unless you defend me, I'm defenseless. We give up our self-sufficiency. We trust in His love and power. God sends us forth as sheep among wolves. We're totally dependent on our Shepherd King. He is our provider and protector. We give up our armor of self-sufficiency. He gives us His armor of indestructible might. If God be for us, who can be against us? When I'm weak and look to Him, what happens? Then, at that point, am I made strong. Praise God. They exchanged names. I'm going to try to hurry through this. Exchange of names today is what we would call the power of attorney. I have durable power of attorney for my mother, durable power of attorney. I'm the only son for my only child. So for my dad and my mom, I have durable power of attorney. I can do things in their name. Amen? Amen? I can sign their name to sell their property if they tell me to. Amen? The lawyer sat me down and my mother down when I got durable power of attorney, which means for all of her business, whatever it is, my name and her name, one and the same. As long as she wants it done and I'm not going to be disobedient to her will, amen. And the lawyer warned us, said, what you're entering into right now, he said, when you do this, said, I don't know your son. You know your son and obviously trust him enough to give him durable power of attorney. But I don't know him, and I am obligated to tell you that unless you really trust him to do your will, amen, you should think this over. So I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm telling you that whatever, once you give him that durable power, not limited, but durable, that means I could sell the property. I can pull anything that she could do in her name. My signature is as good as hers. When they exchanged names, see, covenants were intimate, personal. They involved a trust based on an intimate knowledge of each other and a commitment that's deeper than most marriages today. Can you say amen? Most marriages today. I told a lady at the gym, trying to get back into it just a little bit, a couple of days a week, not trying to bodybuild anymore. I'm just trying to sustain. You know what I'm saying? Maintain. Just sustain a little something of the past to keep my bones up here. Keep me from hurting my back when I have to move furniture. Amen. I have a truck. If you have a truck, you will find yourself moving things for people. Can you say amen? Amen. I saw a truck the other day. You were not here to hear this. It was a big truck with the big dual wheels on the back. And it big sign at the hospital, actually. And it said, yes, this is my truck. And then underneath it said, and no, I will not help you move. So I'm trying to keep my back so I can help people move because I'm a Christian. Anyway, moving right along. Don't ask me, please. This is an old truck. I'm trying to make it last. But you could ask. I might help you. Amen. Exchange of names. Each gave to the other right and authority to use his name as his vehicle with no restriction or limitation. John 14:3, Jesus in the frame of covenant. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 15, 16. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. That exchange of names meant when I use that power of attorney. See, if I'm surrendered to God and I'm surrendered to the will of God, I have the authority to use the name of Jesus to get that will accomplished. Isn't that incredible? I and you as Christians have the authority to use the name of Jesus to get the will of God accomplished. Amen. This is not to do your thing, but if it's in the will of God, the power and the authority of that name can be used in prayer, and it's mighty in battle. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. In my name, what's going to happen to the minions of demons, that the hordes of devils that rise up to withstand God's people? In my name, you will tread on serpents. Can you say amen? Because in my name, it's as if I was standing there. Amen. You can stand in my stead, in my authority. Can you say amen? In my name, you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It's if I'm there. The Lord is going to raise them up. I'm going to honor that. This is covenant stuff. This is power of attorney. In his name. What you ask the Father in my name. Now to ask it in his authority and in his name, it has to be in the will of God. That's why surrender is so important to using authority. Everybody say surrender is so important to using authority. Before they exchanged names, they got rid of the weapons. We get into surrender. Can you say, then, not my will but thine be done, means that now when I pray, I can pray in the name of Jesus for the will of God to be done. And when I discover the will of God, if there's a mountain that is standing in the way of the will of God, because I've got power of attorney to use the name of Jesus, the mightiest name in the universe, that God has exalted above every name. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I can say unto that mountain, be thou removed in Jesus' name, and doubt not in your heart that what you say is going to come to pass. Why? Because I said it in faith? No, because I said it in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody give him praise today. Why does this man stand before you whole? By what authority? They asked the apostles, did you do this? They said, remember the Jesus you put on the tree, whom God hath raised from the dead through faith in his name. This man stands before you whole. Can you say amen? If my daddy was a rich, rich man, a multimillionaire, did you know I could write a check today for everybody in here to go get a new car and you could keep your clunker? You wouldn't even have traded in. I tell you, This is better. This is to Abraham's seed. This is covenant. God said, I'm going to do all of this in the framework of a covenant. So when you pray in the name of Jesus, it's exchange of names. Can you say amen? I mean, this name thing goes on. He gives us a white stone with a new name written. Listen carefully. Amen. To act in another's name is to do what they would do, to think like them, behave like them. This is a covenant privilege not to be taken lightly. This is not to do your will or even what you think is his will. It's what you find to be his will and you know to be his will. And that involves full surrender. There's a lot of things you think is God's will and you pray and find out it isn't. And so you thank him for the prayer he didn't answer. Because it would be my will be done instead of his. But when you put in full surrender. Tell you how full surrender works. And how miracles come so quickly in the context of full surrender. Some people are afraid to go in full surrender. They're afraid they won't get what they want. Well, when you want what God wills, you won't be that way anymore. You won't be afraid of full surrender. Amen. My son, I prayed for my son. We probably won't finish all this, but I prayed for my son. Because he was home as a teenager. My 36-year-old, I got a 45-year-old, going on 46, I got a 36-year-old son. He became just, through pain and nausea, so sick he couldn't keep anything down. He was writhing in pain. And I was wore out. was one of those days when I was spiritually spent, emotionally spent, you know, just wore out. And my son is in pain, and I go in and pray my best prayer of faith, and he's still rolling back and forth in pain. And I'm wore out. So I rebuke the devil. I take authority over Satan. I quote the word of God. I do everything that we're... I plead the blood of Jesus. I mean, I just... all of it to get him out of that pain, to get deliverance to come. And no deliverance comes. And the pain is worse. And I'm watching my son suffer. Real pain. And I said, Lord, if you're not going to heal him, I've got to get him help. I'm not going to stand here and watch him suffer, because if it's my lack of faith, if it's something, I'm not going to watch him suffer, make him suffer for that. So I put him in the car, and I had a little attitude toward the Lord that I shouldn't have had. You know what I'm saying? I was wore out, fatigued, and I just wondered, why didn't God... I had this little... and I didn't want it. I knew it was wrong. I was working on processing it, getting it down, because I'm not going to justify that attitude. But it was there, and you have to deal with it when it shows up. My flesh, your flesh, when I would do good, evil does what? Just shows up, presents itself. And you say, where did that come from? Well, it come from that part of you, amen, called flesh. And I'm not talking about your body. Amen. I'm talking about that part of the fallen nature. Amen. The new man has been resurrected inside, but the old man has to be crucified. Day. Amen. He's still around. Amen. How many know the old man is still around? I buffet my body. I bring it into subjection because the old man's still around. And I got to University Community Hospital, and he's in the back, and he's just weeping, and he said, oh, Daddy, oh, Daddy. And he's a teenager, but to hear him crying and saying, oh, Daddy, it's breaking my heart. And the Spirit of the Lord came on me, and he said, are you really going to put him in the hands of men without renewing your trust in me first? And I said, no, God, I'm not going to do that. I don't understand this. I don't understand all of this. But I am not going to just hand him over to them. In the sense, and while still with this attitude toward you, no, I'm going to correct this first before I go in there. And I said, son, can you hang on just a little while longer? And we were in the parking lot of the emergency room, and I started driving in circles, talking to God. Amen. Renewing my faith. I said, Lord, I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'm impatient. I'm fatigued. And I'm sorry. Lord, we need you. No matter what happens, we've got to have you. And I'm driving around, and I said, son, can you hang on just a little while longer? And I just got all of that straightened out between me and God, and said, and pulled into the emergency room, and they took him in a back room, and I'm back there, and he's still in this terrible state. And they take blood, and they do this and that, and doctor, we'll see you after a while, and you know, we're still back there. And in a room next door, they bring an accident victim, and it kept the doctor from seeing us next. They bring in an accident victim, a man drinking and driving, went off the road. It hit a power pole, I found out, the nurse told me. And it looked like somebody had taken an axe to his face as he went through the windshield with no seatbelt on. You've heard those things about drunks being lucky or God looks over them. Well, this guy didn't have a seatbelt on, went right through the windshield. And he cut his face all up. And because of some reason, some condition that he had, they couldn't give him the strong stuff for the pain. So he was back there in a pain that made my son's pain look small in comparison. This guy was crying out in terrible pain. And I heard that and I said, oh God, he's in there without you. He's not calling on you. The only thing I ever hear him say is some curse word in pain. Lord, we are in here and we got pain too, but we got you. Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being right in this room with us. I want to thank you, Lord. And Lord, my son is in your hands. My son is in your hands right now. Whatever it is, my son is in your hands. And at that moment, there was a surrender. There was a surrender. No matter what, I will trust the Lord. No matter what, I will not try to solve this in myself. Not my will be done. Listen, now you may not understand this. I wasn't giving him over to Satan, giving up on my faith. I gave him over to God to this degree. This is a deeper, this may sound like it isn't faith, but this is a deeper faith, and I want you to get it today. I said, Lord, if you take him, blessed be your name. If you heal him and raise him up, blessed be your name. You think that's a lack of faith. It's been taught that way. It is not. When Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. But I'm going to bless his name no matter what. He's essentially saying, not what I will, but what you will be done. He's surrendering his weapons. Even the weapon of his faith to get his way has been laid down and given over to his covenant friend. He's acquiesced to the will of God. Can you say amen? Do you hear me? Amen. Listen, amen. When I gave my son to God, whether he lives or whether he dies, he's God's. God at this moment. His will be done in this room. Make no mistake about it. Whatever the outcome, the pain's going to quit. God's will is going to be done here today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Suddenly, my son sat up and said, Daddy, the pain is gone. I wasn't praying for the pain to go anymore. I was just surrendering to God, my covenant friend. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. Daddy, the pain is gone. And then he said, Daddy, I'm thirsty. And I said, Nurse, he's thirsty. And he says, the pain's gone. She went and got him a tall glass of water. He drank it down and said, Daddy, I'm still thirsty. She said, well, if it ain't making him sick, I don't see why not. She got him another glass. He drank it down. He said, Daddy, I'm hungry. I knew he was healed then. Hallelujah. Amen. The doctor came in, had read the lab report in the interim. I said, Doc, he says, I said, we prayed in here. He said that he has no pain. He says that he's thirsty. We gave him water. He kept it down. He says that he's hungry. The doctor's looking at his report, and he's listening to us, and he's looking at Matthew. He's got a lot of things going on in that emergency room that night, late at night. Amen. He's looking at him. He said, how you feel, son? He said, I feel great. I'm hungry. I want to go home. He's looking at the report. He said, sir, he said, the white blood cell count that we find here in the blood would be the same as if he had some kind of major problem wrong in an organ in his body. If he had a ruptured appendix, it would be like this. Punched around, there's no soreness around the appendix. There's no soreness around the liver. He can't find him sore anywhere. He's drinking water. The fever's broke. He had a slight fever too. He's normal. He's hungry. He's wanting to eat. He's a teenager. He's hungry now. He just wants to go home and eat something. Amen. The doctor says, I should admit him with a blood count like this. But he kept looking at him and seeing how well he was. He said, I will let you go on one condition, that tomorrow you take him to your family doctor or to a clinic and take this report that I'm going to send with you, and you let them get to the bottom of this, because this indicates that there is a major organ in duress somewhere in his body. But if he's doing this well, then you take, but you promised me. I said, sir, I'll do it. I'll take him. I'll get him. And it wasn't a lack of faith to do that. In matter of fact, it was verified. So the devil couldn't come back with some little gas pain and tell me that I had, you know, been irresponsible concerning his health. Amen. Listen, God doesn't mind being verified. He's not afraid of being verified. When God really does something, amen, it's not you that makes it happen. It's God that does it sovereignly by his Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoa, hallelujah. Praise God. We took him to the doctor, gave him the report. He looked it over. He came back. He checked him up one side, literally, and down the other. And he came back and he said, I'm terribly sorry, Mr. Venable, but I can't find anything wrong with your son. I know it says something here. I know what the... I can't find anything. I said, hey, don't apologize, Doc. That's what we've been praying for. That's what we were asking God for. Hallelujah. I had to surrender. There's a lot of people don't want to even get this tape or get near it. I had to surrender. Even the weapon of my faith. If my faith was to just get what I wanted and to get it when I wanted it, so that a fatigued, impatient me wouldn't have to put up with my son's suffering. If you know all, if I see tribulation worketh patience, and if we use our faith to offset every pressure, we'll never develop biblical patience and perseverance. And if I had my way, I wouldn't have had to take that trip around that hospital, and I wouldn't have to go into that full surrender, and I wouldn't have to patiently wait upon the Lord and come to that place. I'd walked in the room with the word of God, bless God, I'd say, rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. There you are, you're up. What do you want to eat? Hallelujah. I've heard people preach as if that's the way it's supposed to be. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Tribulation develops character. Can you say amen? God didn't like the hotshot preacher that's just going to solve everything and go his way without any inconvenience. God wanted to be more like his son that endured. Amen. He wanted some endurance experience. Amen. Tribulation worketh experience. Experience brings hope. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When that character begins to change, my character begins to change. I begin to realize that yieldedness, full surrender, is what gave me the authority to use his name. Let me give you another illustration of this. And he worked the miracle, didn't he? He came through, but he came through in his timing, and he came through when I was fully surrendered to his will rather than trying to manipulate his will with my faith. Amen? He's been so patient with me when I've been so impatient with him. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, or endurance. Everybody say endurance. The experience we get is that if we keep trusting God in full surrender, he in his will, in his time, in his way, is going to answer us. Amen. And we endure. We persevere. Praise God. Job was persevering when his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? And he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Satan counting on me cursing his name. I may question him. I may get impatient with him, but I won't curse him. I'll bless him. Can you say amen? And when you bless him like that, that miracle didn't happen because I, in my great faith, was telling God when and how and what to do when I wanted on demand, as many people imply. Have you ever heard this scripture? It was concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. They're using that to tell God what to do, when they want it done, and how they want it done. As if he's a monkey on a chain. You yank the chain and he does whatever you got him trained to do. That's ridiculous. Actually, the context of that scripture is people trying to tell him what to do. Amen. When he's already purposed in his eternal will something to be done. And he said, there's how it reads in the actual King James. Concerning the work of my hands, command you me. When he told them to go into captivity in Babylon, as part of his chastisement to them, a false prophet come out, took. You know what Jeremiah did? Let me tell you how this thing works. It's so easy to fall into the hands of a false prophet because it sounds so good and it sounds so right and it always puts you in control instead of God. Can you say amen? Beware of any doctrine that puts you in control. Amen. Listen, you're not ever supposed to be in control. You were in control when sin had you bound. Amen. You had to give up that control for God to save you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When Adam bowed to God and God alone, the devil didn't have an inroad. When he started taking control himself, can you say amen? Then the devil got the inroad. Beware of a doctrine where it puts you in the driver's seat. I don't want to be in the driver's seat. I drove for a while and I shipwrecked time and time again. I want God to be in the driver's seat. He is not my co-pilot. He's a pilot. I ride in the back seat. You didn't hear me. If I had a bumper sticker say God is my co-pilot, I'd tear it off. He ain't helping me drive. He's driving. I'm in the back seat, enjoying the ride. Somebody give God praise. I said, I'm enjoying the ride. Woo! I've given up my sword. I've given up my bow. I've given up my kingly garments. I trust my covenant friend to defend me. Hallelujah. And he gives me power of attorney to use his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. I'm not going to try to pray my kids out of trouble if the trouble's going to bring them to the Father's house. There's so many saints out there praying their kids won't have no problems. Bound by sin, serving Satan day and night, but don't let them get in no trouble. It was trouble that brought the prodigal home. I'm not praying they have trouble. I know they're going to have it because the wages of sin is going to give them trouble. The devil's a hard taskmaster, but I'm not going to pray that when my son went to Nashville to become a Nashville star, he was going to be a Nashville star. He can play a guitar. God gave him an anointing. He learned by ear, and he could play anything by ear. Anything he hears, I don't care what, he can just play it. Just pick it up and play it. He is great on a guitar. Not just because he's my son. He's great. He's so good. People would see him in a bar when he played in the bars and say, what are you doing here? Or somebody that had a Christian background would say, you sound just like Phil Keaggy. You probably don't know him. He's a Christian artist. And here he was, a PK, a pastor's kid up there playing. So he's going to take on Nashville. I didn't pray for him to fail. I just said, Lord, don't let him get any deeper in sin than he already is. He's going to go up there and get on cocaine because he becomes a studio musician in Nashville and makes big money. Lord, whatever it takes, don't let sin snag him back again. Almost killed him. Don't let it pull him back again. He just royal flocked in Nashville. He found out that there's quite a few excellent guitarists in Nashville. Can you say that he wasn't the only one? Came home broke and broken. Left his job, his house, came back with nothing, absolutely. Big washout. God didn't let him prosper in Nashville. Amen, because God don't want that talent used for Nashville. Gave it to him for God. I'm holding out for him to get radically saved. Amen. I want you to hear him play, amen, while my wife and I sing like we used to. Praise God. And when he does it for Jesus, you're going to watch that thing flourish. Praise God. God said, I won't let it prosper nowhere else. And he won't. He won't. Nowhere else. Won't prosper in a bar band. Won't prosper nowhere. But when he gives it back to God in full surrender, God's going to put his hand of blessing on that. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I believe that, Sister Venable. Praise the Lord. I believe that. Full surrender. Amen. When he was so deep into drugs and almost killed him, I remember getting a call that he checked into the hospital bleeding internally, blood coming out his rectum and out his nose and mouth, amen, out of his orifices. And they said, something is bleeding on the inside of him. Checked into to South Florida Baptist Hospital in Plant City. I remember when the call come, when I picked up the phone and they said they were going to go down and see what was bleeding in his internal organs, amen, because they were afraid he'd bleed to death if they couldn't find it and fix it. You know what he did? When they went out of the room, he ran out of the hospital. He got in his car and somewhere in the night was my son bleeding. And the devil began to scream at me, he's going to bleed to death tonight. I'm going to take his soul to hell. Amen. I was on the phone, amen, when they told me what had happened. In one ear I heard that bad news. In the other I heard the enemy, amen, screaming at me. I remember falling on my knees. Not because I was going to just pray, but because I was too weak to stand up with that in my ear. Amen. But suddenly the Spirit of the Lord rose up in me. I laid down my sword. I laid down my bow. Daddy's strength couldn't do it. I said, God, he's yours. He's yours. The only way I can get through it, the only hope he's going to get through it, I give him to you. He's yours. He's yours. He's yours. If he dies in the back seat of a car tonight, calling on the name of the Lord, I'm going to see him in heaven. I just want him saved. He's yours. He's yours. But don't let my enemies prevail. I trust my covenant friend with that. The bleeding stopped. He got better. I don't know what was wrong, but when it's that bad, something was bad wrong. He was drinking and taking aspirins for painful migraine headaches, and between the alcohol and the aspirin in huge doses, something was bleeding on the inside of him. But the blood stopped. I know something about surrender. When you surrender, you can use the name of Jesus, because it won't be to get your will be done. It'll be to get His will done. Can you say amen? Job surrendered it all. Hallelujah. And said, the Lord gives, the Lord taketh, but blessed be His holy name. And God, and prayed for his enemies, and God turned the captivity of Job. Woo! God turned the captivity of Job. God turned it around. Because he was in full surrender. You exchange your garments. You lay down your weapons. Commit them to your covenant friend. Hallelujah. And then he says, whatever you ask in my name, he'll give it you. Can you say amen? How did Jesus use the delegated authority God gave him? The works I do are not mine. I'm not doing this what I want, anything I will, but what I see my Father do. Amen. I'm under authority, and that's why I have such authority. Can you say amen? The words I speak are not my words, but only what I hear my Father say. Amen. A man came to Jesus in closing. I can't get through the rest of this, but are you interested in this covenant exchange stuff? It's all in the New Testament. It's all part of an overarching covenant. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have a covenant friend that we can trust with everything. Instantly healed. Not while I was commanding something, but while I was surrendering all. Hallelujah. Let me show you how authority works to use that name. Here's some guys that don't know the name. They don't surrender to God. They don't surrender their wills. They just saw that some of these people who had were casting out devils. They had power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. Amen? And they said, you know, we could charge for casting out devils. There's so many people full of the devil around here. If we charge, amen, we'll never be out of work again. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. We just live in Sulphur Springs. Man, if you could just get rid of all the devils in Sulphur Springs and charge $100 each, you could retire to the Bahamas. Amen. Listen, they said, seven sons said, this is a good deal. Look at them boys go out there. Demons are crying and coming out when they use the name of Jesus. Oh, we could use the name of Jesus. We saw Paul do it the other day. Were y'all there when Paul cast that devil out of that guy? Oh, he went absolutely haywire. But boy, when it was all over, he was a free man. We could charge to do that. We got the names going here. We got the name game going here. Amen. We're going to play the name game. Amen. So they found them somebody really full of the devil. They're going to demonstrate this stuff. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, said, we in the devil casting out business. Yes, sirree. Amen. For a small fee, well, pretty moderate fee, depending on how big the devil is. Amen. We'll cast this thing out, and they're going to make a million, and they're getting ready to cast it out. So they approach him this way. Seven of them surround the guy. Guy's full of the devil. You know, I mean, he's really demon-possessed. Amen. And they say, we adjure you, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preacheth, come out. And the devil spoke through the man and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you? And then he jumped on them. He jumped on all seven of them. And he left them beaten and naked, stripped them, tore their clothes off of them, beat them half to death. So when we're talking about power of attorney, we talk about the authority of the believer. You make sure this is not a name game. This is not to be taken lightly. This is for people who are fully surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then and only then do you have that covenant right to use this name. Can you say amen? In my name, whatever you ask the Father in my name, you can't ask in his name until you ask in his surrender. Until you can pray, not my will, but thine be done, you can't use this holy name. Come on! This is not for our will. This is for his will to be done. Somebody give God praise. I know you heard it the other way, but you didn't hear it from God's word. Rightfully divided. Let me show you how this works. We're going to quit. A centurion. That means he's a Roman soldier who has a rank that 100 men are directly under his charge. And he is authorized by Caesar's Rome. The mighty Roman Empire has authorized him to tell them what to do. For them to have insurrection against that centurion is the same as insurrection against Rome itself and against Caesar. Because it's in Rome's name, Caesar's name, that he has his authority delegated. He's a centurion. He's been in bloody battles. He's killed men without mercy. He feels blood guilt even though he's a soldier. Because he knows they're pillaging. And not for defense of Rome, but to take the spoils. He has a conscience. He believes in God. He comes to Jesus and said, I've got a servant home that's sick. He's like a son to me. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Because he saw his heart. And the centurion, with that blood guilt on him, recognizing the holiness of Christ, he said, I'm not worthy that you should step one foot under my roof. Speak the word only. My servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority. And because I'm under authority, I have been given authority. Can you say amen? I guarantee you that's exactly the way the military works today. If there is a captain or a colonel or a general, a five-star general, he didn't get to be a five-star general by not following orders. Can you say amen? He got authority by being under authority. Can you say amen? You don't get there, honey. They'll bust you back to buck private in a minute and make you peel potatoes. Can you say amen? I saw that on Beetle Bailey. I know it's true. I wasn't in the military. I read the funnies. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. I'm a man what? Under authority. When you start talking about the authority of the believer, you start teaching them to bow before they do anything else. Amen. The authority of the believer begins when we bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And say, not my will but thine be done. And rise up, amen, with the will of God crystallized in our heart. I'm a man under authority, but I have authority because of that, he said. I tell men to go and they go, and I tell them to come and they come. Because I'm under authority, I have great authority. And when we become under God's authority, amen, we pray prayers authorized by God to pray. Not my will, but thy will be done. The name of Jesus becomes power of attorney. Shalabakosandaraba. Ikalabahoshataraba. Nekalan, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he's going to do it. If my word abide in you, and you abide in me. Amen. In that constant state of dependence and surrender. Amen. And my word abides in you. You will ask what you will. Because your will and God's will be meshed together as one. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And it'll be given you. That way you don't become a little God in any sense of the word. God is not your co-pilot. He drives. You sit in the back seat and enjoy the trip. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 To act in another's name is to do what they would do. Think like them. Behave like them. Let this mind be in you so that you can have power of attorney. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who made of himself no reputation, but humbled himself and took the form of a servant and was obedient to the death of the cross. Then you can use his name in prayer. Then you can use his name against enemy strongholds. Praise God. The name must never be used flippantly. It's powerful even to the tearing down of strongholds, but it's a sacred trust that we must handle in holiness. If we don't pray, if we just keep preaching faith and authority to the believer, and we don't bring back the message of holiness and surrender and sanctification, we're going to continue to see America go down the drain with mega churches on every corner. Amen? We're going to see preachers who are more like the world than like Christ, who walk in the pride of their accomplishments instead of the surrender to their master. And we need surrender to the master today. We need to be more than lords over God's heritage. We need to be examples to the flock. We don't just teach by preaching or laying on hands, but by walking this thing out. That's why I tell you of my failures up front. I want to be forthright, but I want to tell you of his faithfulness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. His faithfulness. His faithfulness is greater than my failures. Hallelujah. Mark 16:17 says, in my name you shall cast out devils. Would you bow your heads this morning, brother? Would you come? They still have to cut the covenant, mingle their blood, put salt in the scars, and call them scars of remembrance. Hallelujah. They still have to share a memorial meal. They still have to plant a sapling tree. So there's a whole lot more to what happens when a covenant in those ancient times was made. You'll never understand, appreciate, or appropriate the new covenant until you see everything in it in covenant terms. But the moment we grasp that, we're going to live differently. We're going to pray differently. And we're going to see answers to prayer like we have never seen before. Because whatever we ask the Father in his name, we're going to see it happen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's why he's calling us to exchange garments, to the full surrender of giving everything over to our covenant friend, not trying to work it out ourselves. Trusting God with it all. Even the weapon of my faith has to be given over and become subservient to his will. Otherwise, I'll use my faith for my convenience. If I was at the pool of Bethesda, I would have, with Christ's anointing and all of those sick people. If I was at the pool of Bethesda with Christ's anointing, unsurrendered to the will of God fully like Christ was, I would have started a healing campaign and healed every person there. But Jesus walked up to what? One man that he saw his father and heard his father say, go to that man right now in that time. That is not to say that others didn't come to Jesus and he healed them all later on. But on that day, at that time, he was sent to one man. Shalabakusandaraba. That's the difference in the sovereignty of God and our ability to just carry out his purposes as if we are know-it-alls. We are not know-it-alls. We have to wait in his presence to hear his voice. Shela Bakusandana. The Spirit of the sovereign God is upon me. You have heard much and seen little. You've seen ministries grow materially. You've seen them grow in silver and gold and prestige and pomp. But you have yet to see the supernatural power of your God delivering captives, healing the sick, dethroning demon powers, setting men and women free. You have heard much, but you have seen little. I want to show my glory to my people. I want my glory to be seen upon thee and within thee and with thee. I want my power to be displayed among the false gods who are no gods.
We've taught faith, we've taught authority, but we have not taught surrender.
We have not taught surrender. We have not taught surrender. We don't have the mind of Christ that was fully surrendered, obedient even to the death of the cross to fulfill the Father's will. Shalabokosana and shalabo sote. Likolaboro shalamanianda mokole mashalama.
I saw a miracle while being fully surrendered to God. And I believe as the church is called and answers the call to full surrender, we're going to be given power of attorney to use the name of Jesus in prayer. Because it won't be our will we're seeking, it'll be His will. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And mountains are going to be removed. And strongholds are going to fall. Praise God. Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, that ministers would teach this. And oh, that Christians would welcome this message.
The only thing I want to say to people with all the tapes and trying to do it the other way is, how's that working out for you? How's that working out for you?
What's it accomplishing in this nation? For our children.
When the real revival hits, it's not going to be a few people falling out or claiming healing that some of them, most of them, didn't even get healed. When the real revival hits, the hearts of the children. I said it's going to touch our homes and our families. God's concerned about the real important issues.
When that real revival comes, the one Joel's talking about. When that real restoration comes, the years, the caterpillar, cankerworm, palmer worm, and locust have eaten, the hearts of the fathers are going to turn back to the children and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Somebody say the families are going to be restored. Hallelujah! Our homes are going to be blessed. Our kids are going to be delivered and saved. Somebody give God praise. Oh, give God praise. I want the real deal, honey. I'd rather have my son saved than my own body healed. I'd rather have my son saved than to run around this church 25 times under the power and the anointing of God. I'd rather have my son saved than to get holy laughter. Hallelujah. I want to see the captive set free. Jesus was anointed to set the captive free. Not play games with the church. To set the captive free.
To bring deliverance to the captives. To break the yoke. Declare the acceptable year of the Lord. When slaves are set free. From their bond slaves are set free from their masters and rewarded. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said the time is here for the loosing of the captives. Can you say amen? Everything about Jesus' anointing was to set the captive free. And when he said the opening of the eye of the blind, he was not talking about Bartimaeus. The God, no, there's something bigger he came to do than open a few blind eyes. It's in the context of captives getting set free. Who holds them captive? Satan, the god of this world. Can you say amen? And how does he hold them captive? The god of this world has blinded the eyes of men, lest they would see the glory of the gospel and be saved. See what God could do if they would only let him. Can you say amen? What did Jesus come to do? Open the eyes of the blind. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. Satan's element is darkness. Satan's element is darkness. But they that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Hallelujah. Let's stand our feet and give him praise.
Hallelujah. Give him praise. We're in covenant. I have his robe of righteousness. I have a wedding garment. I've laid my weapons down at his feet. I'm trusting him to defend me. Hallelujah. But if God be for me, come on, I don't need no weapons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My faith is in him and his eternal purpose. I don't need to build great faith to manipulate everything. God is in control. God is in control. God is in control. When I surrender, God takes over. Can you say amen? My son is in his hands. And it looks like day by day, amen, it just, why not now? Why? It just gets so, I get so impatient. But I remember that night when the devil screamed, I'm going to take him to hell. And you can't do nothing about it. And I handed him to God. Hallelujah. 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 And the devil is a liar. And he's the father of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I want him as a trophy for God. I want his talent as a trophy for God. I want to see the devil have to sit back and listen to us praise God together. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want that restoration. Do you feel that thing coming? I will restore unto you the years. Hallelujah. The years. He said, ain't nothing to me. It won't. And by the way, he said, it's not going to take years to restore years. I'll do it in a season. I'll send the former and the latter rain in one great restorative season. And I'll turn the hearts of the children back to their parents and hearts of the parents back to the kids. Hallelujah. 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 So if we're going to exchange garments and we're going to give up our weapons to him, hallelujah, and trust him for the victory. And we're going to be able to use the name of Jesus in prayer and spiritual warfare to see strongholds fall. Amen. And prayers answered. Then this is the year of the vengeance of the Lord. Can you say, man, let's worship him in this song. Let's claim victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.